BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us for a News Roundup Friday on Crosstalk. Coming your way from BCY America, a number of stories, a number of issues. So much takes place in a given week. We try to encapsulate a lot of it, bring it together here, and yet there is so much more that's going on than what we can even have time to report. We're going to get into it here today on the broadcast to certainly keep you informed on a number of matters, and some of these issues no doubt will grieve your heart. We trust some of them will burden your heart, recognizing that our times, our days are getting much more evil and wicked, and certainly we need to be salt and light for such a time as this. We're going to start with a story from Todd Starnes today about this massive spending bill that was presented by House Republican leaders, filled with millions of dollars in funding for LGBT organizations, including $845,000 for gay garden parties. The House Freedom Caucus discovered that the spending bill provides millions of dollars in funding to the number of LGBT groups. They're urging all Republican lawmakers to reject the bill. We'll find out differently here in just a bit. But a massive spending bill, drafted in secrecy, dropped on in the middle of the night, being rushed to the House floor for a vote less than 36 hours to review. They discovered millions of dollars to fund late-term abortions in several New England states, including $1.8 million for a hospital that performs late-term surgical and chemical abortions. Also in the spending bill, $156,000 for the Hartford Gay and Lesbian Health Collective in Connecticut. They call themselves a champion of LGBTQIA+ equity, with trainings on LGBTQ plus cultural competency and accessing health care for LGBTQ youth. He also reports the $1.2 trillion spending bill was released by Speaker Mike Johnson. And Republican leaders in the wee hours of the morning said there are more than 1,000 pages filled with outrageous expenditures. And had a vote that took place this morning. Yes, that breaks the 72-hour rule. Oh, by the way, there's $400,000 in tax money earmarked for Briar Patch Youth Services, an organization that gives gender-confused 13-year-old children binding and tucking clothing without parental permission. Representative Chip Roy blasted social conservatives over their silence on this spending bill. Well, Representative Roy, a lot of this was just uncovered within the last day or so. And we're going to play a clip here from Chip Roy, but we did edit out the expletive that he shared on the House floor, but here it is.
We will be funding and therefore own, if you vote for this bill, Biden's illegal Department of Defense abortion travel fund. You own it. And by the way, all you social conservative groups out there, all you so-called pro-life groups, crickets, silence, because you care about political power more than the very thing you say you're for. And you know who you are. Transgender surgery to the Pentagon. Where are the social conservative groups? Cowering in the corner. Woke DEI offices across the Pentagon destroying the military morale. You can't even recruit anybody to the Pentagon anymore. You're funding it. Don't complain about it while you're funding it.
Well, not only did he speak out on this, but also Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene blasted the spending bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in extreme opposition to the second part of the omnibus bill. No Republican in the House of Representatives in good conscience can vote for this bill. It is a complete departure of all of our principles, especially if you call yourself pro-life. This bill funds full-term abortion. This is not a Republican bill. This is a Chuck Schumer, Democrat-controlled bill coming from the House majority that is supposed to be controlled by Republicans, but yet our majority has been completely
handed over to Democrats.
Members
are reminded to direct their remarks to the chair, please.
Madam Speaker, it is the will of our voters, and it is the will of Republicans across the country that this bill should not be brought to the floor, that this bill will absolutely destroy our majority and will tell every single one of our voters that this majority is a failure. This is the bill that the White House cannot wait to sign into law. This is the bill that rips our border wide open and tells every single person in over 160 countries around the world they can invade our country, they can run over our Border Patrol, they can run over our Texas National Guard, they can come in, rape our women, murder our people, and squat and take over our homes. This is an atrocious attack on the American people. The Speaker of the House should not bring it to the floor, and this bill should not pass.
Well, it did pass. It did pass the House of Representatives this morning, and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion Friday morning, this morning here, for the vacating the chair of the House Speaker, Mike Johnson. She called on Johnson to not bring this spending bill to the floor for a vote, calling this, you heard her, the Chuck Schumer Democrat-controlled bill. And she said she would have to be recognized to try to vacate the speakership, and the House would have to take action within two legislative days, having not noticed the privilege. The motion cannot be considered until after the recess. The House ended up passing this spending bill that included millions of dollars in earmarks. From the Business Insider, days after underwriting the $92 million bond for former President Donald Trump, and that's in the E. Jean Carroll defamation appeal, insurance giant Chubb has now declined to underwrite the $500 million appeal bond that the GOP frontrunner needs to for his New York civil fraud case, defense lawyers revealed in a court filing. Chubb's decision leaves Trump empty-handed just days before the March 25th deadline. The Daily Caller reporting that the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, recently took the first steps towards seizing former Trump's assets, public records show. James filed judgments against Trump, his sons, and the Trump Organization March 6th with clerk's office in Westchester County, where Trump owns a golf resort and private estate called Seven Springs, according to Bloomberg News. Judge Arthur Engoron issued a judgment in February, finding that Trump must pay $454 million in James's lawsuit that alleges he perpetrated financial fraud by overestimating the value of his assets to obtain loans. Now, friends, that practice is commonly done by real estate every single day. Trump's legal team wrote in a filing earlier this week he would not post the bond in his appeal, moving to stay the execution of the judgment. And again, President Trump has until March 25 to come up with the amount before the deadline. From townhall.com, on Thursday, Trump's lawyer Clifford Roberts sent a letter to the Appellate Court Division of New York Supreme Court, arguing that James's demand of forcing Trump to post this bond in the full amount in order to appeal is unreasonable, unjust, and unconstitutional. From the National Review, former President Trump and other defendants in the Georgia election interference case have the go-ahead to appeal last week's ruling that allows Fulton County DA Fani Willis to continue to lead the prosecution. In a short order on Wednesday, the Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee granted the defendant's request to appeal his last Friday ruling to the Georgia Court of Appeals before the trial begins. Well, friends, it's anniversary time. That's right. Tomorrow is the 14th anniversary of the so-called Affordable Care Act. In a statement from President Joe Biden saying the Affordable Care Act is without a doubt, this is his words, not mine, the most consequential piece of health care legislation in decades, providing millions of Americans with the freedom and security to live the life they want without the fear that one accident or illness will bankrupt them and their families. When I ran for president in 2020, I promised the American people that I would protect the Affordable Care Act from partisan attacks and build on it. That's exactly what I've done, getting more people affordable health insurance, lowering prescription drug prices, and giving families more breathing room. Now more Americans have affordable health insurance than ever before. Premiums are down and enrollment is at an all-time high. Friends, I'm not sure what planet he is on when he made that statement. Have you noticed your health insurance premiums going down? Friends, we are seeing debt skyrocketing. Medical debt is skyrocketing. And we are finding, oh, there may be more people with insurance, but the deductibles are so high. And matter of fact, the KFF, which is an independent source for health policy research, polling, and news, reports this analysis of government data estimates that people in the United States owe at least $220 billion in medical debt. Approximately 14 million people, 6% of adults in the U.S., owe over $1,000 in medical debt, and about 3 million people, that's 1% of adults, owe medical debt of more than $10,000. Medical debt is skyrocketing. Matter of fact, it's also reported by healthsystemstracker.org that despite over 90% of the United States population having some form of health insurance, medical debt remains a persistent problem. High deductibles and other forms of cost sharing can contribute to individuals receiving medical bills that they're unable to pay despite being insured. KFF polling shows that people with medical debt report cutting spending on food, clothing, and other household items, spending down their savings to pay for medical bills, borrowing money from friends or family members, or taking on additional debts. Analysis shows some 20 million people, nearly 1 in 12 adults, owe medical debt. And friends, many of you have also found the difficulty in making appointments, waiting months on end, many months, half a year or more, to get to the specialist you need to. And much of this thanks to the so-called Affordable Care Act. From the WashingtonExaminer.com, by nearly 2-1, voters believe President Joe Biden is using the Justice Department to hobble former President Donald Trump and jail him so that he can't win the fall election. In the latest McLaughlin and Associates survey, shared with Secrets on Wednesday, 56% say they believe that Joe Biden wants to stop President Trump from winning the election by putting him in jail. Some 30% disagreed. What's more, voters said they believe Biden is playing a key role in driving the investigations of his rival. Some 58% said Biden has a role of that. 40% called it a major role. USA Today tells us all eyes were on Ohio on Tuesday as Trump-backed businessman Bernie Moreno notched a major victory in the Buckeye State's Republican Senate primary, setting up a pivotal contest against Senator Sherrod Brown in November. But Ohio wasn't the only state holding a high-profile election Tuesday. In California, Assemblyman Vince Fong advanced in the election for the 20th Congressional District to replace his former boss, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio also held presidential contests, and unsurprisingly, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump won their respective primaries, having already clinched their party's nomination just last week. Well, friends, tell you what, this story is going to get a little involved, so we're going to wait till after the break because of it's getting into these squatting that is going on in homes. Let's mention an immigration story here. The Biden administration, this is from the Daily Wire, Biden administration failed to file court papers in hundreds of thousands of deportation cases, which are as a result tossed by judges. That's right. They failed to file the court papers, and as a result, thousands, hundreds of thousands, 200,000 cases were the NTAs issued to aliens at the border, triggering the creation of a court date, but DHS never filed the actual paper with the court, according to new data obtained by the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse. And in immigration courts in Houston, Texas, Miami, Florida, both immigration hotbeds, more than half of the deportation cases have been dismissed for that reason since fiscal year 2021. Cases dismissed. Another 200,000 just being able to enter. Your case dismissed because we failed to file the paperwork. We'll have more stories on what's happening in the migrant crisis, as well as what's happening with this squatter rule as well. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, why is the ocean salty?
Chris, salt is added to the ocean on a daily basis as rain falls on the land surface, dissolving salt, which then gets into the rivers and ultimately to the ocean. And we can measure how much salt is carried in the rivers. We also know how much salt is in the ocean. A simple division of the amount of salt by the rate at which it's added shows us that the age of the Earth's oceans is far too young to have allowed for evolution, because evolution assumes that life evolved in the salty sea long ago. But if the oceans were old, they would already be so choked with salt that life would be impossible. You see, Chris, the direct scientific observations do not support the evolution idea. They do support recent creation, and that's the recent creation we read about when we go back to Genesis.
For free information on creation, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
It's a Friday News Roundup here on Crosstalk. We thank you for tuning in. And, friends, we're just on the immigration issue. And I tell you, city after city, community after community, large urban areas and rural areas are being impacted by this. JustTheNews.com tells us in December 2023, the city of Denver agreed to a $100,000 contract to feed incoming migrants with Colorado Hospitality Services. Well, after a year, that contract increased to $475,000 in January 24. Then the city had to pay another $450,000 in February 2024. Now Denver City Council looking for another $500,000 to pay for food costs through June, raising the total to $1.4 million. Denver has continued to receive an influx of illegals, with nearly 40,000 arriving in the city over the past year due to its status as a sanctuary city. And the cost is continuing to grow. Denver, by the way, currently faces a nearly $60 million budget deficit. And Denver Mayor Mike Johnston has said that the city, to maintain current services that they're providing for the migrants, would cost taxpayer well over $100 million over the next year. Well, friends, as I mentioned, even smaller communities are being impacted. We just learned what's going on in Wausau, Wisconsin. Wausau, Wisconsin's Public Health and Safety Committee Monday approved a request from the police department to add two additional officers to address growing homelessness. Homelessness in Wausau, Wisconsin, folks. The reaction has been mixed from the public. And dispatching these officers, evidently we've got individuals living in parking garages and not having proper restroom facilities there. You can imagine what is taking place. But they're seeking to hire more officers to deal with homelessness. Is this the priority of the police department? Western Journal is reporting in an episode that defined the chaos and violence at the southern border. A massive illegal immigrants broke through a fence to a rush and to enter America. The group that initially rushed the fence numbered about 100 illegal aliens out of a mass of about 600 people shoving one another aside in order to cross the border. And this has happened at El Paso. Hundreds of migrants decided they had enough of the Texas National Guard returning them to Mexico and instead rushed the border wall. At one point, men pulled fencing from the post that held it as a small group of guard members tried to hold their ground on the U.S. side of the border. The crowd of illegal immigrants grew until the mass finally was more than the guard members could hold. This week, Republican Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders directed the Arkansas National Guard to send soldiers to the southern border to assist the Texas National Guard amid the ever-growing illegal immigration crisis there, reports townhall.com. Let's go to Massachusetts. Just the News reporting the Massachusetts House of Representatives received an additional $245 million for emergency family shelters as an increasing migrant population in the state continues to overflood the system. Friends, it is amazing what is taking place of illegal immigration, illegal aliens that are piercing the border, coming through. The Biden administration not filing the proper paperwork, and so hundreds of thousands of cases just being dismissed. From WND.com, let's get to the squatter issue. Topsy-turvy America in the case of squatters taking over a privately owned home and the owner getting arrested. The New York Post explained the homeowner had been trying to remove a bunch of squatters from her family's home for some time. Now, she was recently cuffed after she changed the locks on the $1 million home in Flushing, Queens, that she says she inherited from her parents when they died. Under the laws of this liberal state, it's against the law for a homeowner to change locks, turn off utilities, or remove the belongings of someone claiming, hear that word, folks, claiming to be a tenant. The ordeal began when she tried to sell the home but found out that squatters had moved in without her permission or knowledge and actually changed the front door locks. So the owner went to the structure, accompanied by a TV crew, called a locksmith to change them again. A heated, caught-on-camera spat with the alleged squatters quickly unfolded and ended with some of the so-called tenants and she being led away in handcuffs. The city provides special squatter rights for someone who has moved into a home and lived there for as little as 30 days. A man who claims he's on a lease for the building said he was unlawfully evicted. Well, friends, here's another very troubling story that came out from the Western Journal of a woman beaten to death in her mother's New York City home, stuffed in a duffel bag. I mean, the squatters, a couple might have stayed in the luxury apartment for months after the previous tenant passed away. And according to the New York Post, people believe when the squatter's presence was detected, they savagely beat a woman to death and then stole her car. She was found dead, stuffed in a duffel bag in her late mother's Manhattan apartment last week, police said. 19-year-old son made the gruesome discovery. The teenager tracked his mother's phone to the apartment using a location sharing app and found her stuffed inside a duffel bag with one of her feet hanging out. Officers believe that the mother's apartment was entered on March 14th after she returned from a trip to Europe to get ready to rent it to a family friend. But police believe that she never made it out of the apartment after she discovered the squatters, according to the Post. Detectives believe the couple beat her to death, stowed her body, and then fled in her Lexus SUV. NYPD Chief of Detectives Joseph Kenny told the Post, quote, "We believe that some squatters took the apartment over, and this woman came home and walked in on the squatters that were there." Friends, this is outrageous. Totally outrageous what is happening in New York. Totally outrageous. And private property rights are thrown out the window. We've had so many guests warning about this. Down the road here a piece, we're going to have Tom DeWeese scheduled back the first week of April. And friends, this is he's been an advocate for private property rights. But the breach of those rights are taking place in cities across America. Some people have had their private property rights extinguished by those that are promoting this carbon capture pipeline and just coming in onto their land. Let's hit another issue from Western Journal. Oh, yeah, this goes with the squatter. Colin Rugg, an investor and co-owner of Trending Politics, shared a TikTok video on the social media platform X in which a man described as an illegal immigrant told his followers how to abuse the law to steal houses. The man in the video, identified by the UK's Daily Mail as Leonel Moreno, who appears to be a Venezuelan migrant, informed his followers of a legal loophole that they can take advantage of, especially get a house for free. According to the English captions on the video, he said, "I've thought about invading a house in the United States. I found out that there is a law that says that if a house is not inhabited, we can seize it." He then explained that the law also applies to land invasion and told his followers that, "I think that will be my next business, invading abandoned houses." According to the American Military News in New York City, if you have lived in a place for 30 days, you cannot legally be evicted. As described by the New York City laws, not only are lockouts illegal, no matter your immigration status, but you are protected against a lockout if you've lived in the same place for at least 30 days, even if you did not sign a lease. The Daily Mail noted that New York City has adopted a much more progressive policy regarding so-called squatters' rights than most of the states and cities. Most states, in fact, have required a longer established period of residence, from 2 to 7 years, in contrast to a mere 30 days in New York. From CBN News, the U.S. is pushing for a United Nations vote today on its version of a ceasefire resolution in Gaza. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel to apply pressure on the Jewish nation. At the same time, House Speaker Mike Johnson says he'll invite Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address Congress. In his Middle East tour to promote a hostage deal, Blinken said, quote, "There's a clear consensus around a number of shared priorities. First, the need for an immediate, sustained ceasefire with the release of hostages." Well, as the fighting continues on the ground in Gaza, Israel says a huge Shifa hospital has become a major hideout for terrorists. Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, Israeli army spokesman, explained many Hamas terrorist operatives and senior ones have been hiding in the hospital, and also Islamic Jihad group has been hiding in this hospital. Israeli forces have arrested 650 terrorists in the fighting at the hospital this week, including what it calls very significant Hamas officers. Just the News is reporting China and Russia on Friday vetoed a UN resolution sponsored by the United States based on humanitarian concerns, and I put that in quote, calling for an immediate and sustained ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war in Gaza. The measure was voted upon the UN's 15-member Security Council. 11 members were in favor, 3 were against, 1 voted in abstention, according to the Associated Press. Well, friends, other international news taking place as well, and this from Worthy News of scores of Chinese warplanes flew around Taiwan shortly after officials confirmed that U.S. troops had been stationed permanently on the democratically ruled island, local authorities said today. Taiwan's defense ministry confirmed it detected at least 36 Chinese military aircraft in a 24-hour window. The Ministry of National Defense also monitored six naval ships operating around Taiwan. From FoxNews.com, folks, are you having anxiety about the climate? I mean, here we had several inches of snow in southeast Wisconsin last evening, but there are those who are saying the sky is falling, and now there are climate cafes that are popping up worldwide over the past few years to help people deal with their global warming anxiety. According to a recent New York Times report, one organization, Climate Psychology Alliance North America, claimed to the NYT that it had trained 350 people to run climate cafes in the U.S. and Canada, with 300 people on the Climate Aware Therapist Directory. The alliance examines how mental health is affected by ecosystems, extreme weather and disasters, tainted air and water, and how that intersects with other forces like racism and income equality. The groups include the simply named Climate Cafe in New York City, which was founded in November 22 as a private group and has since grown into a wider activist organization involving protests and festivals. Let's hit another issue here, friends. This from the Daily Signal, and it happened again where a male high school student who's gender confused took 10th place in the girls' high jump in a recent national indoor track meet in Boston, continuing a streak of elbowing out female athletes from placing in the event. LifeSiteNews.com reports this week that a drag queen, recently embraced by Vice President Kamala Harris, has been accused of sexual assault and rape by five different people, according to a new report. In June of 22, Harris hosted a Pride Month event at the Vice President's residence, where former RuPaul drag race participant Darius Pierce, stage name Shangela, was invited to speak. At the time, the media hailed the event as historic, with the two posing for selfies and Pierce later thanking Harris for being an authentic ally of the LGBT movement. Well, now, however, the association has taken on a decidedly more problematic connotation for the Biden administration, thanks to a Rolling Stone report published on Monday that reveals that five people allege sexual assault in ways I will not describe on this program. But this is a drag queen hosted by Kamala Harris and now accused of sexually assaulting five individuals. LifeSiteNews.com also reporting Washington Governor Jay Inslee signed a law March 18th mandating that by 2025, the state's public schools adopt inclusive curricula and select diverse, equitable, inclusive, age-appropriate instructional materials that teach about the histories, the contributions, the perspectives of LGBTQ people. Friends, we're going to take a break. I've got more stories after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to a news roundup day on Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Our society is being influenced by the entertainment media, and we don't even realize it. Why is it that many Christians entertain themselves by watching movies or programs that take God's name in vain, or feature sensual activity on Saturday night, and then go to church on Sunday to praise His name? That's the underlying message in the DVD, Power of the Air by Dave Cristiano. This moving story features a missionary from Africa who warns that the church in America is being deceived and in great danger. A Christian that hears this message is convicted and makes a significant change in his life and sets out a plan to reach his city with the gospel. Watch this story unfold in the DVD, Power of the Air. Available now for a donation of $18, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to a News Roundup Friday on Crosstalk. And friends, as we rehearse just a few of the many stories from this week, it makes you really long for the return of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, does it not? And so as we long, we also recognize that we have responsibility. We have a stewardship until the returns of being salt and light. And friends, it also underscores that that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has not returned yet is an example of his extreme love and patience and long-suffering desire for souls to come to the Savior. Let's do what we can to advance the good news of the gospel. We're just talking about what's happening within LGBT-related issues, and Todd Starnes is also reporting that parents and Republican lawmakers are demanding answers over allegations that a male space camp counselor who identifies as a female was given access to the girls' dormitories. Representative Dale Strong demanding that the male counselor be fired. Planet Fitness. Have you used Planet Fitness? Well, there was an action alert that came out from the American Family Association. Planet Fitness, a fitness gym, over 2,500 locations worldwide. Recently, an Alaskan woman was shocked to find a biological man shaving in the woman's dressing and shower area inside her local Planet Fitness. When she complained to the manager, she was told that biological men who identify as women are welcome inside the ladies' room. When she complained to the corporate office and provided a picture from her phone as proof, the company canceled her membership and issued this statement to Fox News in full support of gender-confused men. Quote, as the home of the judgment-free zone, Planet Fitness is committed to creating an inclusive environment. Our gender identity non-discrimination policy states that members and guests may use the gym facilities that best align with their sincere, self-reported gender identity. Friends, this is outrageous. Outrageous, and that's my opinion. Women, how can you feel safe going to a Planet Fitness? Well, we understand that their stock has dropped. The gym's stock dropped after it was pointed out about their requiring women to share bathrooms with men who are gender confused and you know, that use whatever pronouns they want, and that the fitness company is also compelling its employees to speak in the way transgender customers demand. Breitbart is reporting the fitness chain saw a $400 million drop in market value after they canceled the gym membership of a woman in Alaska who photographed a male transgender person shaving in the woman's locker room, according to the report in the Daily Mail. Their stock, their value dropped from $5.3 billion to $4.9 billion. Unbelievable. Friends, what we have come to as a nation. And then we have from hotair.com, the obsession with mixing kids and drag has gone to an extreme, and the Museum of Pop Culture in Seattle appears to be playing with fire by putting on a week-long drag camp that will mix explicitly sexualized performances and, quote, education with children as young as 12. The camp, to teach kids how to be drag queen performers, being taught by the drag queens. It will be the parents' fault because the risks are so obvious. Still, it will also be the fault of the federal and state governments who pour millions into the museum and the board of directors determined to push the boundaries. And friends, it's even happening under the guise of religion. LifeScienceNews.com reported that Pope Francis has defended civil unions for homosexuals, stating it, quote, it is a right that these people who live the gift of love can have legal coverage like everyone else. Since I'm mentioning the Pope, LifeScienceNews.com also mentions that Pope Francis issued fresh condemnation of critics of the abortion-tainted COVID-19 injections, saying that opposition to the shots distressed him since being against the antidote is an almost suicidal act of denial. Well, friends, there are more actions that were happening in the House this week, and we know that Tony Bobulinski went, a former business associate of the Biden family, testified before Congress, a committee of Congress, and guess who was on the committee? Yep. State Representative, or the New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And AOC had a fiery exchange with Mr. Bobulinski. Here's just a part of what transpired.
Mr. Bobulinski, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple. Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question. No. RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statute.
Me, sir. Excuse Fara. Me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is
know.
The
crime? It's
the
category
crime?
Of crimes that you're then charged
You
under
have charges.
A long hundred
You have charges. Yeah. Sir, please
you want me to
name
the exact statute
sir,
under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18.
All right.
Okay. Isn't that amazing? I mean, AOC saying RICO is not a crime. Well, how is it that so many people are charged under RICO? Very interesting. Well, there's something else that's been going on, of course, and that is also, the list of candidates for various federal judge positions are also regularly being heard. And Senator John Kennedy put another one of Joe Biden's nominees kind of in the hot seat earlier this week in the Senate Judiciary Committee. This is a judge, Mel Conador, I believe it was, an Honorable Nancy Maldonado, I'm sorry. So let's just hear some of that grilling that took place.
Said, quote, assault weapons may be banned because they're extraordinarily dangerous and are not appropriate for legitimate self-defense purposes, close quote. Tell me what you meant by assault weapons.
Thank you, Senator Kennedy. Just to clarify, there, I was local counsel.
But you wrote the brief. Tell me what you meant by assault weapons.
Senator Kennedy, actually, I did not write the brief. The brief was written by...
You signed the brief, though, didn't
correct.
You?
Correct. I signed
and
the brief.
You sign a brief, you're testifying to the court that everything in it is true, right?
Yes. Okay. That, and I
so they're your words in terms of the court, right?
Well, you're correct, Senator Kennedy. Okay. I would never
tell me what you meant by assault weapons.
So I am not a gun expert, and at the time, that brief, I think, was about 10 years...
But you were given the court advice about, say, ban assault weapons. What is... You told the court you were an expert. Just tell me what you wanted to ban.
Senator, sitting here today, as I said, I did not write that brief. I was local counsel.
Sign the brief.
I understand. At the time...
Tell me what you wanted to ban. That's all I want to know, Judge.
I don't remember the exact definition of assault weapons in the ordinance that was at issue.
So you submitted a brief to the an appellate brief. You signed it, and you don't know what. And you said abolish assault weapons, and you don't know what you wanted them to abolish.
Senator, at the time that I signed the brief, I read the brief because our Supreme Court required someone, an Illinois bar member, to sign the brief. I was not responsible for researching the content.
You were responsible for the brief.
Absolutely. And sitting here today, I do not remember the characteristics of that were cited in the ordinance for the assault weapons ban. It's not an area of practice that I have specialized in. I'm sure if 10 years ago I could have answered your question.
And
but
Judge,
sitting
you
here
want,
today,
you think Senator, you deserve to be promoted? Expired. With this record.
Senator, I stand by my record.
Stand by my record. Very interesting. And, of course, putting her name on the brief and to ban assault weapons, but cannot define what an assault weapon is. Now, likely because of the majority rule, 50+1 in the U.S. Senate, this candidate very likely is going to advance to a federal position. And that's why Senator Kennedy was asking, do you think you should be advanced? You should be promoted? What's also interesting, the Blaze had a story that came out this week on the Supreme Court of Washington State. Now, they have ruled that passing the bar exam will no longer be necessary for law licensure since such a requirement, quote, disproportionately and unnecessarily blocks historically marginalized groups from entering the practice of law. Isn't that something? No longer required for a law license because of what, race equity issues? Then we wonder why we have problems with the law today and attorneys and judges and the rulings that are coming forth. Daily Caller tells us the Republican National Committee slapped Nevada Secretary of State Cisco Aguilar with a lawsuit last Friday alleging that the state had impossibly high voter registration rolls. The lawsuit alleges that the state of Nevada is failing to maintain the requirements of the National Voter Registration Act that mandates that voter rolls must be kept clean and accurate. Voter registration records, the RNC is alleging that according to their analysis, five of Nevada's 17 counties have inflated voter rolls, which they say indicates a violation of the Voting Act. At least three Nevada counties have more registered voters than they have adult citizens who are over the age of 18, the lawsuit alleges. That number of voters is impossibly high. And also, the Federalist is reporting that the Virginia Governor Youngkin vetoed Democrat-led bills that would have required the Commonwealth to rejoin the leftist-linked ERIC, that's the Electronic Registration Information Center. A report from the Public Interest Legal Foundation on ERIC's zeal to target for voter registration tens of thousands of ineligible voters, including the deceased, as eligible but unregistered, shows that Youngkin's instincts were correct on this. But in my book, his instincts were very wrong about his signing so-called same-sex marriage into the state of Virginia. From thenewamerican.com, a former official with the Milwaukee Election Commission found guilty felony misconduct in public office in connection with obtaining false military ballots for the 2022 midterm elections. Kimberly Zapata, the former deputy director of the City of Milwaukee Election Commission, was fired in 2022 after she created three military absentee ballots and sent them to a Republican lawmaker. In addition, she was found guilty of three misdemeanor charges of making false statements to obtain absentee ballots, faces up to 5 years in prison. Sentencing is supposed to happen on May the 2nd. From MRC Newsbusters, they're reporting 41 times Google has interfered in U.S. elections since the year 2008. Friends, we're up against a break. Let's open up our phone lines. And if you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, time is limited, so get online right away. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. It's a News Roundup Friday here today on Crosstalk. A number of stories we've covered. Sadly, there's a lot of things we've not been able to get to yet today. But for instance, in Germany, fifth graders are being banned from drinking water because it's Ramadan and might offend others in their classroom for not abstaining from food and water during day hours. Wow. Back in a minute, taking your calls, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I heard CBS report on something I wasn't sure I would ever hear, and that is on the red heifers in Israel. CBS News is reporting, indeed, what we have reported now for quite some time, the five red heifers that have gone from Texas to Israel. If one or more can be qualified as able to be sacrificed, this will be the ashes mixed with water that will purify a temple or a tabernacle. But even CBS acknowledged that the October 7th attack on Israel was related to these heifers. Listen.
In a recent speech, a Hamas spokesman blamed the Jews for bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these, red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem.
Amazing, my friends. Keep your eye on Israel and Jerusalem.
News Roundup Day here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network. By the way, a man inside the Capitol on January 6th was there for 3 minutes. He's been brought to court and now faces up to 3 years in prison as well as fines. In there, 3 minutes, went into the rotunda, grabbed some photos, and exited the building. 3 minutes. Now facing up to 3 years in prison as well as fines. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Dan calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
How y'all doing? Yeah, I just want to make a comment. The big money backing of the nonsense that's going on now is Arabella Advisors. President Trump told us in a speech a week or two ago, Arabella Advisors is America's number one enemy. And people better take heed to that, because these folks are the ones financing the dark money and all the NGOs throughout the country right now make all this happen.
Okay. Thanks for sharing your opinions with us here today. Let's go to Mark in Newark, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment about Marino up here in Ohio. They tried to smear him, but the people in Ohio oversee that. He trumped these guys over here. So he ran on Trump's endorsement, but that didn't really that helped him. But what really helped him, though, he told the truth and he held fast to his convictions, and people saw through the other two. So, and I advise Brown to watch him, because he's going to get knocked out of there.
Okay. We'll see what happens in November and with whether or not people will be engaged in the election.
I think so, because people in Ohio is getting mighty upset about what we're seeing and hearing and all that.
Mark, thanks for the call today.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Jim in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
I just really appreciate all the news and important information that you're sharing. And, you know, the scripture in Hosea 4:6 says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even concerned about other people that aren't even believers. If they had this information that you're sharing today, would it make a difference? And what can we do out here, I mean, to let people know about this program? So,
thank you. One way you can do it is get word out about the program. I mean, use whatever means you have, whether it be word of mouth, your social media accounts, your email contacts to send links to the program, to crosstalkamerica.com. Those are all ways to help get the word out. But it's individuals, you have your sphere of influence that I will never reach, but you will have access to. So these are some of the ways that you can do it, inform other people in your church regarding the program, and do what you can to help spread the word. Thank you for the call. We've got Robert in Arizona. You're on the air.
Yes, all the things that you're talking about, the things that are going through the court system and the law system, it brings out what the Bible says, that lawlessness is going to increase. And it really shows that it comes out. And I can see how the United Nations is imposing Islamic law on all the nations. So I can see how this new world order is coming to play.
Mm-hmm. It's obvious when one's eyes are open to see what's transpiring. The problem is there's a lot of apathy right now in our society, Robert, and many people are caught up in sports, in entertainment, in one's own personal schedule. They have no idea what is going on in this world.
It's a great big distraction, and that's what Satan is doing, distracting us.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a great big earthquake that Jesus talked about is going to happen at the end verses at the Revelation chapter 6.
Yeah.
And it talks about 7 major earthquakes that shake the world through the tribulation period. It's actually going to literally shake people up.
Yeah. Thank you, Robert, for the call. The world does need a shaking. And friends, may it not be in judgment. May it be a shaking of the heart where people come to recognize their need for the Savior. Let's go next to, Mark, Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, my comment pertains to Chuck Schumer's urging for Benjamin Netanyahu's removal as Israel's prime minister.
Yeah.
It sounds very similar to like a foreign version of election interference. You got to keep in mind while Obama was in office, he interfered with Netanyahu's election back in the day.
You know, isn't it interesting, Mark, that he's not calling for a shakeup in the leadership of Hamas or the Palestinian Authority? He's focusing on Israel.
Yeah, well, that's my follow-up to this thing. I mean, because of Obama's allegiance to the Muslim Brotherhood, I think Schumer is his third-term mouthpiece for anti-Semitism. I mean, Netanyahu is committed to taking out Hamas. Any biblical knowledgeable person would know that this is the whole goal for them is to destroy Israel.
Thank you, Mark, for the comment.
Thank you.
And let's see. Next, we have Paul, Mitchell, South Dakota. Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. I just wanted to thank you for your program, but also, you know, the point I had just made to the person answering the phones is that, you know, all this stuff going on are like distractions, and the main thing that we should be focusing on is being right with Jesus. And then, you know, as far as maybe even doing things locally, getting involved in polls, but just so many things are going downhill at once. I'm originally from Southern California, of all places, and, you know, things are imploding all over the country.
Yeah.
And to just have your heart right with Jesus, yeah. And our hope isn't in, in Trump or Biden, you know. Granted, you know, Trump has been one of the best pro-Christian presidents, and I voted for him twice, but we really need to put our hope in Jesus, because he's really the only secure thing we can trust.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the call and for that wonderful reminder. We're going to squeeze in Merle in Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. I find it interesting that you will not find communist countries embracing this LGBTQ insanity, but you will find it in their manifesto to bring down other countries and to destabilize them. I just thought that was an interesting factor.
It is. Thank you, Merle, for the call. And we are out of time for additional phone calls here. Friends, the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And we would trust that in this dark world and the perilous times in which we live today, that we would advance the Word of God. Friends, we need to sow the Word. The only two things that last forever, that's the Word of God and people. And we need to take that Word of God, the everlasting Word of God, the truth, and invest it in the lives of others. So we encourage you to do just that. Well, friends, it is Friday. The Lord's Day is coming, and I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.